This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 211. Today we're going to talk about the Cloud Show at Ignite 2017 and a bit of news, recorded live September 5th, 2017.
Give CodeShip Pro a try. More teams than ever are using Docker and Linux for their .NET applications. CodeShip Pro is a fully customizable, continuous integration and delivery service in the cloud with the best support for any team that is using .NET and Docker together and can run builds on Linux environments. CodeShip Pro comes with ready-to-use integrations for Azure, including Azure Container Services, and more. It also offers a free, convenient local CLI tool that allows you to run your builds locally and is the only hosted CI/CD that lets you build your own environment, giving you the most control and flexibility no matter what tool or stack you're trying to use. Check out CodeShip Pro's free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Open source projects are always free on CodeShip. Visit CodeShip.com today or check out CodeShip.com/features/pro to learn more.
AC, how are you?
I'm a bit frantic and preoccupied right now.
What's going on?
Oh,
I heard it's going to rain.
Yeah, so I got a bunch of stuff going on, and one of them that we're going to talk about now is might be over by the time that everyone hears this. So I am being completely distracted and having a Hurricane Irma bearing down on us. So Hurricane Irma right now, as the time we're recording this, which is Tuesday the 5th, it is sitting out by the Leeward Islands in the Caribbean. It's already a Cat 5. As of a few minutes ago, it's been upgraded to 180 mile an hour sustained winds, gusts up to 220 miles an hour. I have never seen a storm this big and this strong this far out off of land. So the thing that's a little...
Yeah, it's starting to freak everybody out, I think.
It's definitely got our attention. I mean, I'll be honest, okay? So where I live in Northeast Florida, we are in a spot. We dealt with this last year. Last year was the closest I've ever dealt with a hurricane. Everything that looks like with this one is that it's going... A cold front's coming down from the country, and so it's going to go through the Gulf, and this hurricane's going to go right up the north side of Cuba. It's going to get to the tip of Florida. A cold front's going to hit it, and it's going to basically make a right-hand turn and go just straight north, either up the left side of Florida, the east side of Florida, or right up the middle. And any of those things, it doesn't look like it's going to go up the east side, but if it does any of the other ones, going up the left side or going up the center part of Florida, we will get a big storm, but we're not going to be getting a Cat 5, so I won't have to evacuate. And that's all supposed to happen starting around Saturday, September the 9th, maybe going all the way through Tuesday the 19th, or sorry, the 12th. But it is just, it's one of those things. There are hurricane updates that come out every 3 hours. And so you can try to tune this stuff out, but it's just, it's distracting and it's stressful, and you got to make sure you're prepared for it and blah, blah, blah. So it's nothing like what the people in Houston... It does not look like it's going to be like anything like what the people in Houston have been dealing with over the last week or two. They had a special circumstance where the storm got pinched and hung out there and just dumped so much rain. But feel for what they're going through. But it is... It's distracting, man.
Oh, I bet. It's like that scene out of Austin Powers with the steamroller or whatever that's slowly coming towards him. And he's like, no, no. It's slow moving and far away, but unstoppable if it gets too close.
I got 4 or 5 days away from this thing coming in at us. And you know what else? You know what the kicker of the whole thing is? You know what's really irritating about this thing right now?
What's that?
The timing.
Oh.
The timing.
Yes, which probably leads us on to an interesting point. You got something coming up for work you're trying to get done while all this is going on.
Oh, yeah. The wheels are already in motion. By the time everyone hears this, you know, it will have already been out for about a week. Or at least the news will have been out for about a week, but the wheels are in motion as we're recording this. And so I've started a new business, Voitanos. The plan with this was to record a SharePoint framework developer course as my first course and release that as a couple different bundles starting this year. And what I'm doing is today, September the 5th, and I'll have links to this in the show notes, I'm announcing the pre-launch or the pre-release for the course is going to come out on Tuesday, September the 19th. And so what that means is, I'll give you that in a nutshell real briefly here, is that I'm bundling this course in three bundles. The first bundle is the starter bundle, and that's been out since March of this year. And it's just three simple chapters that explain who am I, what they can expect, what the SharePoint framework is, and how to get their environment set up. The next two bundles, the fundamentals bundle and the ultimate bundle, those are going to have about 20-ish chapters each. One's got a little bit more, one's got a little bit less. 50% of those, the fundamentals bundle is for people who want to be productive and understand SharePoint framework and get their job done. The ultimate bundle is more advanced content. It's more for enterprise developers. It's like continuous integration, real testing, real performance, real metrics and analytics of your solutions and stuff. So that's a bunch more content and also some other features as well with that one. The pre-launch is going to be, when it comes out on the 19th, is going to be about 50% of the content for the fundamentals bundle. And then every two weeks, maybe 2.5, 3 weeks, something like that. We'll just see. I'm going to be doing drops until everything's done. So middle of October, you'll see another drop come out, or early October, you'll see another drop come out with another like 4 or 5 chapters. You'll see another one later in October, another 4 or 5 chapters. And so it'll be until it's all done. So that's the plan. The cool thing about it, though, or the interesting thing, is that I'm doing something. I haven't shared this with you yet. So I've got the pricing has all been set now, and I've got the details out for that. So the fundamentals bundle is going to be $299 one time, but you get all the future updates to it. The ultimate bundle is $499 for, and that includes the fundamentals bundle. So you get everything with the ultimate one. But what I'm doing is for the first 24 hours of my pre-release, I'm going to be sending everybody on my email list, who I said would get special offers and discounts from day one. They are going to get an email at 12 p.m. or noon Eastern time on September the 19th for a discount code that is available that works for 24 hours for 50% off either bundle.
Ooh, yeah, that's a really good deal.
Yeah, so 50% off of that. And then if you miss out on that one, there'll be another option maybe right after that. But it is only going to be, I will only share that code with people who are on my email list who have been waiting for the course and everything. And anybody who can, you know, if you're listening to this right now and you're not on the list, you can go to voitanos.io. You can sign up and say, I'm interested, and you'll be on the list and you'll get the heads up, you know, 24 hours ahead. Hey, get ready.
It's like Prime Day, except for AC.
That's what I hope so. except it's Prime Day with good deals.
Let's just hope it's like a Game of Thrones new season and HBO scrambling to make sure it scales.
So that's the good thing, because the people that I'm using to do all this stuff, I don't have to worry about scale.
Yeah, that's good. Nice.
Wistia is delivering the video. Stripe is doing the payment processing. The website scales as well. Everything. And so everything is all set there. I just got to finish the content that I want to have in the show. So
that is awesome. Awesome to hear. And yeah, it's going to be really nice progress.
It's exciting. It's great to be at this milestone. But, you know, I would like to be able to focus on it and not have to watch every 3 hours or every 6 hours. Damn storm.
Yeah, true. Timing, man. I tell you, piss poor timing.
Yeah. Anyway, so how about you?
It's really cool. I'm looking forward to getting that launched and watching how it goes. That's going to be really exciting. This is rubber hitting the road territory. I like it.
It's a
pucker factor 10.
It is. It's about damn time. But I'm glad. I'm looking forward to being able to release it. I'm really happy with how it's coming out too. So I've had a few people look at it so far and gotten some really good stuff from them. So I'm sure I'll have some tweaks to do afterwards when the first release comes out. But yeah, I'm excited.
That is cool. I guess people will be able to learn more at Ignite as well. They'll come find you. Are you going to do any sort of like the Amazon truck kind of cruising around Ignite? If you find the Amazon truck, give you a good code or a good deal or something like that? You got anything cooking special for Ignite?
I definitely do.
Stay tuned for plans, I guess.
No, those plans are already in action too. If you find me at Ignite, I will have cards on me that will have a code on them for 20% off both the bundles that'll work through the end of October. So for the pre-release as well. And again, you buy it now and you get all the future updates that I end up pushing out to it. So yeah, I'll have a discount code for everybody at Ignite as well, a special one there.
Hey, speaking of Ignite, we've got plans.
We do.
You want to yap about that for a little bit?
Yeah, man. Why don't you tell everybody what we're doing?
So for those of you who live in Siberia, I wonder if we've got any Siberian listeners.
I don't know.
Let us know if you are living in Siberia. It just seemed like the most remote place I could think of immediately off the top of my head. I've been there once, but there's a lot of space there apparently. Anyway, maybe a better way to put it is, unless you live under a rock or in the middle of the Gobi Desert, Mongolia or something like that, you may not have heard of Ignite, but Ignite is coming up to one of Microsoft's big conferences for the year. September 25th, I think, is the right date. I should probably know that. It's the week of September 25th. Hyperfish is going to be there. We're a silver sponsor. I think it's silver sponsor. Yes, silver sponsor. We're going to have a booth there. Definitely come and find us there. But the cloud show is also going to be there in full force this year. Last year, we did a live show there from the podcasting center. And that was really fun. It was the first time there. In fact, it was the first Ignite. It was the first year they ran Ignite. This will be the second time. I thought it was a really good show, actually, last year. But this year is looking like it's going to be really good as well. It's in Orlando. So we have some plans that we'd like to sort of walk through with everybody and discuss a little bit and make sure you're aware of what we're up to that week, where to find us, how to interact with the show, how to have a bit of fun with us, and the chance to connect in a new and interesting way that we're trying for the first time. So we're going to do another live show. The Podcasting Center has invited us back. So that, I'm not exactly sure where the Podcasting Center is. I've seen it on a map, but it's labeled on the map for Ignite. There's a podcast center, and it's also in your session browser. So in your session builder, I should say. So where you go add sessions to your calendar and all that sort of stuff, it's listed as a Microsoft Cloud Show podcast session. So if you want to go and add us to your calendar, definitely go and do so. I believe it's on Tuesday morning is when the show is going to be. And if we find out exactly what time it is here.
It is at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. And you can find it if you go for the session code, it's POD1000. Or if you're looking at the link, you know, link in the URL, it's session code 56270. We'll have that in the show notes.
56270 or POD1000. That's a pretty cool name, actually.
No, we are the POD1000.
POD1000, yeah. Nice. So we have some plans for the live show. It's going to be about an hour long. We've got space to seat about 100 people in the live seating right in front of the sort of the stage where we're going to be doing the podcast from. Quite a few people have added it to their session calendar or their browser already. I think about 500 people or so. But that doesn't mean they're all going to show up, right? People put things on their calendar and don't show up. So definitely come along. In all likelihood, there'll be lots of seating. Like that's as popular as we like to think we are. You know, people have other plans. There's other sessions going on, all that sort of stuff. So although they add it to their calendar, in all likelihood, there's going to be room. But definitely come along. We're going to do a couple of things. We're going to talk about news and events at Ignite. We're going to talk about who's new and interesting on the expo floor. We're going to talk about news and announcements from the keynote and so forth. We're going to talk about last year versus this year and how to get the most out of the conference, that sort of thing. And then, of course, all the latest and greatest from Ignite, what all the news and announcements are and what we think is super interesting. But we've kind of got one twist on the show this year that we thought we'd take with the audience. So do you want to talk about what we're thinking about doing here?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're going to do is we're going to attempt to get live questions from our audience. So we're going to do this in a couple different ways. First of all, if you are on our mailing list, you will get an email. We get a couple emails actually from us in the weeks leading up to the show and the week of the show that is going to ask you if you have a question for us that you want us to read on the show and to kind of discuss, to send it in to us. And so getting it ahead of time over email would be the best way to do it to make sure that we actually have it and we can plan for it in the show. But if you are attending the show as well, we will have a way for you to submit a question to us during the show itself. You can send it to us. You can jump on Twitter and tweet it to us, and we'll have a hashtag that we'll mention out during the show. Or we'll have a way that if you're at the show itself as well, you can write it down on a piece of paper and you can bring it up to us. We're not going to do the whole thing where if you have a question, then stand up and actually do your question and then CJ and I kind of answer it, because we're not going to have microphones in the podcast room. The idea is it's supposed to be a broadcast. And so we don't want there to be like this, you know, 30-second silence of nothing going on. So if you give us a question, you write down, you know, your name, write down your Twitter handle. We'll read all that stuff on the show during the show.
Yeah. And if you come to the show, we'll call you out in the audience. We'll say, hey, this is from such and such. And you may get a little pan and zoom from the cameras. I'm not sure. But anyway.
Yeah. And the other thing, this is going to be a live show. I mean, this is going to be live streamed. Last year when we did it, we actually hosted it on our site. But they've changed it this year to where now they can broadcast to straight to do a YouTube live and a Facebook live thing. So if you follow us on Facebook, if you follow us on YouTube, you should be able to see the live stream from there. And if by chance you don't get a chance to tune in, we are going to lift the MP3 from the recording and we will publish that out as a real episode that week as well, just like we did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's definitely one to add to your calendar. Come see us. We're going to have some stickers and swag and all that sort of stuff. But
wait, there's more.
There's one more thing.
I hope this works.
Me too. Me too. I really, really hope this works. And unfortunately, this is out of our hands in some regards, right? So there is a rather exciting event happening on Thursday of the week of Ignite. And gee, you and I are into a couple of things outside of work that are related to putting things in orbit. And gee, I wonder where most of those rockets leave the United States from.
Just about an hour
east. Just down the road. And, well, look at that. There happens to be the United Launch Alliance National Reconnaissance Office spy satellite going up that week. So maybe we should do something around that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you reckon we should do, AC?
All right, so here's the plan. And we hope that we can do this, but
watch it on TV from the hotel?
No.
Is that what you're thinking?
No. So this, we hope that we can make this work. We hope that we can make this work. And this is all kind of depending on timing because it's an NRO satellite going up, they don't tell you way in advance on when the actual launch time is. So we don't know it right now. We will know ahead of time, but we won't know it now. We won't know it maybe a week in advance, but I mean, we just don't know. So the plan is, if time permitting, if it's at a good time, meaning like not 6 a.m. or 1 a.m. or 11 o'clock at night or something like that. If it's at a reasonable time, then what CJ and I want to do is we want to grab two people from the live audience on Tuesday who are there and people who submit questions. How's that for making sure you get a good question that you're available to us? But and you're going to be available. That CJ and I are going to grab two people from the live audience and we're going to jump in my car. I'm driving down to Orlando, so we're going to jump in my car so the guests can sit in my Tesla. CJ and I will be sitting up front, or maybe we mix that up a little bit. And I'm not going to let you drive my car. I'm not going to let you guys drive my car, though. So I'll just say that. But the four of us will jump in the car, and we will put a GoPro on the windshield, and we will do a live kind of cloud kind of chat thing while we drive an hour over to Cape Canaveral, and we watch the rocket go off, and then we turn around and we drive back. And if by chance shit hits the fan, or well, hopefully shit doesn't hit the fan while we're there, although there'd be some great pictures. It wouldn't be a SpaceX rocket, so I'm okay if a ULA kind of loses one.
Yeah, there's something pretty uncool about being rained on by hydrazine.
Yeah. Like health.
That probably won't happen, hopefully.
But even if not, then we may end up going over there. We may go see Atlantis. If we go over there and they end up scrubbing the launch, then we can still go see Atlantis and go check that out.
You will see rockets one way or another.
Yeah, they may be moving or they may not be moving. We can't control the ones that are supposed to move.
Exactly. And yeah, Atlantis, if you haven't seen Atlantis, the shuttle is spectacular. So worst case scenario is we get in AC's car, we hoon over to the Kennedy Space Center with AC looking hilarious with his hands off the wheel most of the way. And we go see Atlantis and hang out with the shuttle for a while and talk about the cloud and talk about sort of cloud show related topics along the way and have a bit of a laugh. And no doubt you will get loaded with swag along the way as well. We'll probably have to kit you out with t-shirts and all sorts of bits and bobs. So we'll make it definitely a fun afternoon or whenever it happens to be.
So but yeah, cards on the table. CJ and I, we're going to go watch a launch.
Yes.
We just said, let's get two guests and go.
Let's drag a couple of people along.
Our listeners, come with us. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. I'm looking forward to meeting whoever we take and hopefully going and seeing a rocket launch. That should be super fun. Obviously, the backup plan doesn't suck either. There's a Mars exhibit going on. There's Atlantis to see. There's the rocket park at Kennedy Space Center. There's the Kennedy Space Center shop, which is like my total kryptonite.
Yeah.
Please don't let me buy a spacesuit. And
I want to get my Aston Martin shirt.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then we get to noodle on a bunch of fun discussion along the way. So yes, if you're interested, definitely come along to the live show, submit a question, maybe on your question, indicate that you'd be open to
available
attending the launch. Yeah. Available. And we'll try and keep you updated on when the launch is going to be. And then we'll pick a couple of people from the audience during the show and arrange it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And we will know by the time that we actually do the show, the live show, we should know the time of when the estimate launch is supposed to go. I've been watching it for a little while. There's another launch that's going up the week like the week before or 2 weeks before ours. And they still haven't posted the time for that one or when it's supposed to go. There's one that's supposed to go up on September the 14th. That's the NROL 42. The one that we're going to see is 52. And they haven't posted the time for that one. So we're waiting to find out when the actual time, when they show that one, so we can have like, oh, okay, we know like 3 days in advance, we know what the time will be. So we'll make it out. We'll talk about it a little bit during the live show as well. We'll make this work. So
excellent. It should, I'm excited about this. This is going to be really fun.
Any launch is fun. Of course, they're not going to be landing, but you know, it's okay. Any launch will be fun. So
it's funny how our gauge of excitement is, does it include a landing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I haven't seen a landing yet. I'm looking forward to my first landing at some point, but
it's epic.
Yeah. I guess they don't tell you the time that they're going to launch these things because they don't want other nations knowing sort of their target orbit and that sort of thing ahead of time. So they'll let the cat out of the bag, usually a few days earlier or something.
Yeah, they do that. And then they stop doing, when they do the live stream online, they also, when the first and second stage usually separate, they never show the video from the second stage. You don't see the payload deploy, so you don't get pictures of what the satellite looks like and all that stuff.
Yeah, and it's usually the payload does a little dog leg, so you never, they don't publish the orbit. And then all the amateur astronomers around the world go looking for it and typically find it anywhere. So it might take them a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so there's been a couple of things going on. We're going to keep this a relatively short show, but there's a couple of things.
Now that we've gone on for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
What if you could take any process your teams use to get work done and make it happen automatically? What if you could save countless hours and help people work better together? Nintex can make it happen. With a Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. And it flows in and out of the tools you use every day. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever.
We do have a couple of quick news items to go through. Maybe we just pick one or two each or something along those lines. Maybe a top news item or something like that, just to cover off. Because there's been a couple of things going on this past week that are worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Any in particular that lipped out at you?
I've got two bit of media things that I'll definitely share. If we don't get to all the news that we want to show to that we want to share in the show, then we'll at least have them in the show notes. But the two that I want to highlight have to do with Azure Container Instances. So both of these are Channel 9 shows. They were on the Azure Friday. One of them is related to an interview with a guy named Rob Caron by Donovan Brown. And they talked about what Azure Container Instances are. They talked about the documentation, the pricing, and how to get ramped up and really get to be able to take advantage of it with like using the Azure CLI and the Azure portal and all that stuff. But then the next one that I really enjoyed, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at this, but is looking at the one on Kubernetes. So they got Brendan Burns up there.
Mm.
These are short bite-sized ones. The first one I just mentioned is only about 13 minutes and 9 seconds. The one with Brendan Burns is just 5 minutes, and it shows how you can use Kubernetes with Azure Container Instances. This is, I've seen some articles from different publications that kind of talk about this as the missing link for the silver bullet against serverless. I don't think I get why they're saying it. I think that's overblown a bit, but it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So I'll have to check those out. I have a piece of news sticking on the Microsoft theme. Microsoft leads in SaaS market, Salesforce, Adobe, Oracle, and SAP follow. So there was an article put out by Synergy Research Group. They're an analyst firm that talks about some new Q2 data that they've gathered up, that they're saying that the enterprise SaaS market grew 31% year on year to reach almost $15 billion in quarterly revenues, which is huge. And that Microsoft remains the clear leader after having taken over from Salesforce about a year ago. But they're saying that they're rapidly still increasing their SaaS revenues and that LinkedIn in Q2 gave them a big boost. But it was kind of interesting because they've got a little graph here that show sort of the relative sizes. Microsoft are out in front, obviously. But yeah, it sort of breaks it down by workload as well here, as well as total SaaS and things. So definitely go check it out. It's just interesting to keep an eye on. At least I think it's interesting to keep an eye on how the SaaS ecosystem is changing, or the market is changing, I should say, as people adopt it and move. And it's a good indicator of how customers are feeling about it. So yeah, definitely worth checking out. That is in our show notes.
Very cool. I have a little bit more on the Azure news related stuff. This is a identity bit or a Azure AD bit. Now, this is going to apply to any new Azure AD tenants, not existing tenants. Existing tenants will still have the same settings. I don't know if old tenants or existing tenants are going to get, if they could opt into this. I'm not sure how that works, but they're making some improvements as far as how they deal with token lifetimes. So there's a lot more detail in the blog post, but the three big ones that they're talking about is that first, refresh token inactivity is 90 days. That noise you hear in the background is all of my Nest smoke detectors decided in the middle of our show that just started doing their sound check. I got a little update on my... They give me an update like 5 minutes ahead of time, and I'm looking at my watch like, oh, shoot, here we go, right in the middle of the podcast.
Oh, classic.
Anyway, so refresh token inactivity is now set at 90 days. Single and multi-factor refresh token max age will now be alive until they're revoked. And refresh token max age for confidential clients, which is like certificates, that's going to go also until it's been revoked. So the refresh token activity, just a little more information on that one. That policy controls how old a refresh token can be before it expires and no longer be used to retrieve a new access/refresh token pair when attempting to access a resource. So that's going to effectively...
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's going to effectively force users who haven't been active in their client to re-authenticate to retrieve a new refresh token. So now, if you keep using it, it's good until as long as you keep using it, right? Except now it's not just going to sit there and... If you don't use it, it's good for 90 days. But if you keep using it, you're all good.
Yeah. So this, as it relates to Hyperfish, this is a huge deal, right? And in fact, anybody who uses Azure Active Directory Auth will attest to, or as anybody who uses AAD Auth will attest to, understanding their token timeouts is black magic. Until now, by the sounds of it. So yeah, in the past, you never really knew when your refresh token was going to expire. You may have had a couple of hunches, but super hard to actually accurately predict. And so you had to build in a lot of padding, I guess, to deal with situations where it didn't work and you couldn't get new access tokens. So this is really good news, I think, for folks. It really clears up the situation, makes it super simple. Basically, refresh tokens will last until revoked or 90 days of inactivity. Piece of cake.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's nice to see the update. It's always been surprising to me why it took so long to get like official documentation on when refresh tokens would expire. There was always times you could get from your maybe like it was always hard to find it. And sometimes you would see it documented. And then sometimes you'd have a conversation with someone.
But there'd be conflicting things and there'd be
Yeah.
I mean we've seen situations where refresh tokens just never expire. There's examples for certain customers that we have where we keep getting access tokens using a refresh token, and the refresh token has never expired. Like, we've got the same refresh token we've had since day one with them, I believe. And so that also flies against every piece of advice we've seen or every piece of documentation we've seen. So maybe this is, you know, maybe it wasn't so set in stone previously, and this is... So moving to some of those new defaults.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Nice.
Going to make things easier. Yeah, really nice. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased, but that's really going to help. Yeah.
You got another one here for us?
No.
You don't? Okay. I have two more for you. I'll get two more.
You want to go?
Yeah, two quickies. First one here is around default encryption for Azure Blobs files, tables, and storage queues. So this is now, it's now a new feature. It's now default encryption. So this is now going to allow people to, when you create a blob, files, table, or queue, and with Azure Storage, it's encrypted. I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah.
It's a quick one, but it's a big feature, but it's a really easy, you know, thing to understand.
Gotcha. Want it encrypted, flick a toggle, boom.
Done.
There you go.
And then the last thing I got here is it's a tweet that kind of came out, and it was sharing some news from Oracle.
Oh, yeah. I retweeted this. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of... I haven't really ever been a fan of Oracle. I get that they're a big company. I get they have a really... You know, it's been a very popular database for a long time. I know maybe it's just through my rose-colored glasses that I don't really see them in really good light these days. I see, like, more and more people kind of complain about them. But this one, how did you announce that Solaris, that old operating system from Sun, how do you know that it's over and it's end of life? They just fired all the tech staff yesterday. Or not yesterday, yeah. Sorry. But they did this on, what day was that? That was September the 1st.
Yeah. Kind of silently. Try to make no news of it. That sort of thing. I've got a special spot for Solaris in my... I used it at university quite a lot. And yeah, another one bites the dust.
We had the first company I worked for. It was a little startup web shop. And we had two Solaris boxes we used as our primary and secondary DNS. Because we actually hosted our own DNS too. I mean, these days I wouldn't do that. But we hosted our own DNS. And so we had the name server pointing back to us for all of our domains. And man, those two boxes, I think they were like 8 years, 9 years without ever having to reboot those guys. Something like that.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those. I mean, I think Sunboxes still run quite a lot of stuff. I don't know for certain, but I've kind of got this hunch that there's a bunch of Sun systems out there still running probably quite critical systems.
Why they're still running.
So, yeah, we'll see how that goes for a while. But yeah, Miguel de Casa from Xamarin, now Microsoft, weighed in on this tweet thread, which was pretty interesting. So there's a bunch of folks in there that talking about it and basically saying how Larry clubbed Sun to death and all this sort of stuff. Pretty interesting. But hey, at one time, Sun was about to acquire Apple. So
was it really? I didn't realize that. Oh, that's right. You're right. I forgot about that.
When Apple was having some doom and gloom days. Anywho, that's sad to see another OS go, I guess, but can't say I've used Solaris recently, so
no,
I won't miss it too much.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm sure some people will.
While many IT teams struggle with the impact of deploying Office 365, Zscaler customers are experiencing 40% or greater network performance across file download times, as well as TCP and DNS connection times, compared to using next-gen firewalls and UTMs to route Office 365 traffic locally to the internet. While you may know Zscaler is a leader in cloud security, they also have hundreds of customers who are processing over 1.2 petabytes of Office 365 traffic monthly through the Zscaler cloud. Visit www.zscaler.com to learn more.
Hey, got some picks for us?
I do. I have two. They're pretty easy. They're fun, though. One of them is a post from Imgur. A guy used a 3D printer and showed how he basically made... Remember the old Polaroid cameras? You'd take a picture and it would spit out a little thing and you could see it live?
Oh, I read this guy's post, yeah.
It's really cool. So he actually made a camera that prints a GIF instantly. And so what it does is it takes a picture and it spits out a little cartridge that looks like a... It looks a lot like a like an old iPod, like the original iPod.
Yeah.
Like short and stubby. And it's got a little screen on it. And he figured out how to have this little cartridge sit in. And when you take the picture... It charges the little cartridge on a battery. It's got a little Raspberry Pi. It's all powered by Raspberry, it's all operated by Raspberry Pi. And it writes the picture and the little video onto the cartridge. You pull the cartridge out, it's got a little screen, and hey, you can see the little animated GIF of what you just recorded.
Huh, yeah. It's pretty sweet. He does the entire breakdown of exactly how he built it and then links off to all the files so you can go build one yourself if you're that so inclined. Looks like a lot of work.
Looks like a fun little hobby project, but yes, agreed. It looks like a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool. What's your second one?
So my second one is, somebody who owns a Tesla, you hear people talk about battery degradation and all that, just like, you know, batteries get degrade over time.
Yeah, all the FUD.
It's there's not any official news or anything about it. It's all kind of consumer collected data, open source data that we've kind of pulled together to find out like what the deal is. And it's unfortunate that there's a link to a blog post that kind of talks about a guy who's done a lot of work collecting data and analyzing it. He's over in the Netherlands. He's got a really long thread over in the Tesla forums that I can't read it because I don't speak Dutch, but shows how to go through and collect data. And then he goes through and he's plotted it all out. Well, when you go to this blog post and you see it, initially the first picture you see, you're like, oh, that's not really good. But then you realize that the degradation, his scale is going from 100% down to 80%. If you do it from 100% down to zero, you see that there's a little bit of a drop off in the first 50,000 kilometers that you put on a Tesla. But then after that, the degradation is almost negligible, which is great to see. That kind of talks about how theoretically a Tesla battery is going to effectively last almost forever, or at least it showed like the theoretical number. And recently too, we saw another thing where someone actually put 300,000 miles on a Model S and they're seeing similar thing with the battery. So it's great to see. It's great to see that.
You can see why they stand by their battery, what do you call it, warranty, I guess, because they have no concerns that it's going to last. So, but yeah, it's one of the issues people freak out about is what happens when the battery dies. It's like, well, it's kind of a much less likely scenario than a lot of people think.
Yeah, I'll give you my evidence right now. I bought my car. It's an 85D. So 85 kilowatt is the total capacity of the battery. It has about 45,000 miles on it. When I got it, when you would do a full charge, it would get to be around 292 to 294 miles of range. Right now, a full charge is about 236 to 238, depending on how hot or cold it is outside.
Yeah, gotcha.
90% charge, 90%.
And that really flattens out, right? So,
yeah.
So you lose a little bit of like 5% of battery or whatever within the first 50,000 miles, and it's sort of not entirely flat, but really flattens out.
We saw a drop-off in the first 25,000 miles, and I have not seen a drop-off since then. So,
yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
I guess they warn you about the initial upfront. Brand spanking new, get a bit of extra mileage out of it, but you lose like 5% according to this, over 50, not even 5%, over 50,000 miles.
Yeah.
50,000 kilometers, sorry.
Yeah. So
they're showing on this graph.
Like you said, they stand behind their tech. I mean, it's so I've been, it was nice to see because it's one of those things you kind of go into a new technology and you're like, it's a big investment. I hope this holds up. So
it also matters. Have you, I guess we could dig into this on another show, but have you looked at how this varies by area of the world? Because battery temperatures make a big difference in terms of range and the life expectancy of a battery. And you live in a pretty hot area of the world.
Yes.
On average, you know, versus average, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that's good, bad, and different, or are you right in the sweet spot?
I do notice a difference. So I know someone who's got one in a very cold climate, and then I've got one in a warm climate. And I can definitely notice on, you know, so most of the time during the year, for 2 months out of the year, we get up in the high 90s. So this is all Fahrenheit. So we get up in the high 90s. For, I'd say, 8 months out of the year, we're probably in the 70s or 80s. And then for 2 months out of the year, we're like anywhere from the 20s to the 40s. I notice a big difference on when it's hot outside, I get much better range. When it's very cold outside, until the battery warms up, I don't get as good a range. But by the time it warms up,
you don't get the efficiency, yeah.
Right, you don't get the efficiency.
I just sort of meaning in terms of longevity of the battery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it makes an impact over its lifetime.
Yeah, that I can't speak to.
When I owned the Leaf, I absolutely noticed the difference between summer and winter by a long way. Like, and the Leaf doesn't have a big range. I think its max range at the time was like 115 miles, I think. And in winter, it would get down to like 85, 90, something like that. But there were drivers who were talking about it who lived in super hot climates, like in Arizona and stuff like that, whose batteries were, you know, their degradation on their battery was significant over, you know, 3 or 4 years when they live in a super hot climate. But anyway, cool.
How about you? You got any picks?
I do have one pick here. So I don't know if you're a big fan of Narcos off Netflix, but there is a Netflix original series called Narcos, and season 3 of Narcos is out, and it's called Beyond Pablo Escobar. And so I don't think this is a spoiler, like, because it's basically based on historical fact. So I'm sorry if you don't know this, but he died in the last season. And in real life, he died, yes, many years ago. But this season is about what happens after Pablo Escobar. And so it's about, you know, you cut the head off a snake and 4 more grow kind of thing. And it's about the continuing Colombian cocaine trade with the Cali cartel and the US and Mexico's influence in it, and the whole nine yards. So I find this stuff fascinating, mainly because it's based on a true story. It's embellished a lot from what I understand. But there's certain things you're like, did that really happen? And then you go look it up and you're like, ooh, yeah, it really did happen.
I love this series.
So I'm watching that at the moment. I really like it. It's a great show. And I think I like it because it's kind of historically moderately accurate in terms of the overall storyline. So super interesting. Yes, Narcos season 3, Beyond Pablo Escobar.
Very cool.
Yeah. Hey, AC, we've got a couple of busy weeks ahead of us. We will remind people about our show. We're going to send out emails about what we're doing at Ignite with invites to the show, the live taping, so to speak, and what we're going to do around the rocket launch and stuff like that. So stay tuned for that. But until next week, get busy shipping.
I'm working on it. Awesome.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Yeah, man. You too.
See ya.
Bye.
Did you like this episode? please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.